وكانوا يصرون على الحنث العظيم وكانوا يقولون أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئنا لمبعوثون أوآباؤنا الأولون قل إن الأولين والآخرين لمجموعون إلى ميقات يوم معلوم ثم إنكم أيها الضالون المكذبون لآكلون من شجر من زقوم فمالئون منها البطون فشاربون عليه من الحميم فشاربون شرب الهيم هذا نزلهم يوم الدين نحن خلقناكم فلولا تصدقون أفرأيتم ما تمنون أأنتم تخلقونه أم نحن الخالقون نحن قدرنا بينكم الموت وما نحن بمسبوقين على أن نبدل أمثالكم وننشئكم فيما لا تعلمون ولقد علمتم النشأة الأولى فلولا تذكرون أفرأيتم ما تحرثون أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكهون إنا لمغرمون بل نحن محرومون أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون لو نشاء جعلناه أجاجا فلولا تشكرون أفرأيتم النار التي تورون أأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون نحن جعلناها تذكرة ومتاعا للمقوين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين
علي محمد Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Thank you all for joining us for the second part of this series, inshallah, preparing for Shahr Ramadan. Inshallah, to start off tonight's program, we're going to be having a Quran recitation by our brother Ali Jum'ah, directly followed by the recitation of the Munajat with brother Ali Jum'ah. If we could all please help me welcome him with ilad salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ثانية على حب الزهراء صلى على محمد وآل محمد ثالثة لتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمن صلى على محمد وآل محمد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذبت ثمود بطواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوا فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها صدق الله العلي العظيم صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد Inshallah, if we can just turn the lights off, please. Thank you. Another salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد واسمع دعائي إذا دعوتك واسمع ندائي إذا ناديتك وأقبل علي إذا ناجيتك فقد هربت إليك ووقفت بين يديك مستكينا لك متضرعا إليك راجيا لما لديك ثوابي وتعلم ما في نفسي وتخبر حاجتي وتعرف ضميري ولا يخفى عليك أمر منقلبي ومثواي وما أريد أن أبدي به من منطقي وأتفوه به من طلبتي وأرجوه لعاقبتي وقد جرت مقاديرك علي يا سيدي فيما يكون مني إلى آخر عمري من سريرتي وعلانيتي وبيدك لا بيد غيرك زيادتي ونقصي ونفعي وضري إلهي إن حرمتني فمن ذا الذي يرزقني وإن خذلتني فمن ذا الذي ينصرني إلهي أعوذ بك من غضبك وحنون سخطك إلهي إن كنت غير مستاهل لرحمتك فأنت أهل أن تجود علي بفضل سعتك إلهي كأني بنفسي واقفة بين يديك وقد أضل حسن توكلي عليك فقلت ما أنت أهل وتغمدتني بعفوك إلهي إن عفوت فمن أولى منك بذلك وإن كان قد دنا أجلي ولم يدنني منك عملي فقد جعلت الإقرار بالذنب إليك وسيلتي إلهي قد جرت على نفسي في النظر نها فلها الويل إن لم تغفر لها إلهي لم يزل برك علي أيام حياتي فلا تقطع برك عني في مماتي إلهي كيف آيس من حسن نظرك لي بعد مماتي وأنت لم تولني إلا الجميل في حياتي إلهي تول من أمري ما أنت أهله وعد علي بفضلك على مذنب قد غمره جهله إلهي قد سترت علي ذنوبا في الدنيا وأنا أحوج إلى سترها علي منك في الأخرى إذ لم تظهرها لأحد من عبادك الصالحين فلا تفضحني يوم القيامة على رؤوس الأشهاد إلهي جودك بسط أمني وعفوك أفضل من أمني إلهي فسرني بلقائك يوم تقضي فيه بين عبادك إلهي إلهي اعتذاري إليك اعتذار من لم يستغن عن قبول عذره فاقبل عذري فاقبل عذري يا أكرم من اعتذر إليه المسيئون إلهي لا ترد حاجتي ولا تخيب طمعي ولا تقطع منك رجائي وأملي إلهي لو أردت أواني لم تهدني ولو أردت فضيحتي لم تعافني إلهي ما أظنك تردني في حاجة قد أفنيت عمري في طلبها منك إلهي فلك الحمد أبدا أبدا دائما سرمدا يزيد ولا يبيد كما تحب وترضى إلهي إن أخذتني بجرمي أخذتك بعفوك وإن أخذتني بذنوبي أخذتك بمغفرتك وإن أدخلتني النار أعلمت على أني أحبك إلهي إن كان صغر في جنب طاعتك عملي فقد كبر في جنب رجائك أمني إلهي كيف أنقلب من عندك بالخيبة محروما وقد كان حسن ظني بجودك أن تقلبني بالنجاة مرحوما إلهي وقد أفنيت عمري في شرة السهو عنك وأبليت شبابي في سكرة التباعد منك إلهي فلم أستيقظ أيام اغتراري بك وركوني إلى سبيل سخطك إلهي وأنا عبدك وابن عبدك قائم بين يديك متوسل بكرمك إلهي إلهي أنا عبد نتنصن إليك مما كنت أواجهك به من قلة استحيائي من نظرك وأطلب العفو منك إذ العفو نعت لكرمك إلهي لم يكن لي حول فأنتقل به إلى ما به عن معصيته إلا في وقت أيقظتني لمحبتك وكما أردت أن أكون كنت فشكرتك بإدخاني في كرمك ولتطهير قلبي من أوساخ الغفلة عنك إلهي انظر إلي نظر من ناديته فأجابك واستعملته بمعونتك فأطاعك يا قريبا لا يبعد عن المغترب ويا جوادا لا يبخل عن من رجا ثوابا إلهي هب لي قلبا يدني منك شوقا ولسانا يرفع إليك صدقا ونظرا يقربه منك حقا إلهي إن من تعرف بك غير مجهول ومن لاذ بك غير مخذول ومن أقبلت عليه غير مملول إلهي إن من انتهج بك كان مستنير وإن من اعتصم بك كان مستجير وقد لدت بك يا إلهي فلا تخيب ظني من رحمتك ولا تحجبني عن رأفتك إلهي أقمني في أهل ولايتك مقام مرج الزيادة من محبتك إلهي وألهمني ونهم بذكرك إلى ذكرك وهمتي في روح نجاح أسمائك ومحلي قدسك إلهي بك عليك إلا ألحقتني بمحل أهل طاعتك والمثوى الصالح من مرضاتك فإني لا أقدر لنفسي دفعا ولا أملك لها نفعا إلهي أنا عبدك الضعيف المذنب ومملوكك المنيب فلا تجعلني ممن صرفت عنه وجهك وحجبه سهو عن عفوك إلهي هب لي كمال الانقطاع إليك وأنر أبصار قلوبنا بضياء نظرها إليك حتى تخرق أبصار القلوب حجب النور فتصل إلى معدن العظمى وتصير أرواحنا معلقة بعز قدسك إلهي واجعلني ممن ناديته فأجابك ولاحظته فصعقا لجلالك فناجيته سرا وعملا لك جهرا إلهي لم أسلط على حسن ظني قنوط الأياس ولا انقطع رجائي من جميل كرمك إلهي إن كانت الخطايا قد أسقطتني لديك فاصفح عني بحسن توكلي عليك إلهي إن حطتني الذنوب من مكارم لطفك فقد نبهني اليقين إلى كرم عطفك إلهي إن أنامتني الغفلة عن الاستعداد للقائك فقد نبهني المعرفة بكرم آلائك إلهي إن دعاني إلى النار بعظيم عقابك فقد دعاني إلى الجنة جزيل ثوابك إلهي فلك أسأل وإليك أبتهل وأرغب وأسألك أن تصل على محمد وآل محمد وأن تجعلني ممن يديم ذكرك ولا ينقض عهدك ولا يغفل عن شكرك ولا يستخف بأمرك إلهي وألحقني بنور عزك الأبهج فأكون لك عارفا وعن سواك منحرفا ومنك خائفا مراقبا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، وصلى الله على محمد رسوله وآله الطاهرين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين.
صلى على محمد وآل محمد. Thank you, Brother Ali. Inshallah. I just wanted to have a couple quick reminders. The restrooms are directly under the stairs in the cafeteria area. Their nursing room is also there. It's in the back of the cafeteria as well, for any mothers that need to go there as well. Inshallah, last reminder is there's a program, inshallah, this Friday, commemorating the martyrdom of Malcolm X, inshallah. If we could please help me welcome Sayyid Ali Jafari for the second part of our Preparing for Ramadan series with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And just a quick request, if we're able to just move up a little bit, it would be greatly appreciated, inshallah. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Before I begin, I just would like to thank Sheikh Osama and my teacher, as well as Sayyid Al Makki and the whole team here at the Hadi Institute for providing me this opportunity to spend some time and look carefully at the Munajat, and apologize and also actually thank them for the wise decisions that were taken last week to make sure that everybody's health was given the priority. So for Sheikh Osama and his entire team, please send a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. أما بعد, brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life to be here once again on a Wednesday night, and I commend you all for what's not an easy task. I've been there. You know, I know it's not easy on a working night to come out to the masjid and put time into trying to understand the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, trying to understand how we can improve ourselves. And I just want to say that no matter whether or not I do my job tonight, you all have done your job by just making that effort, by coming out here. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you that barakah. He's going to give you that tawfiq, inshallah, that this Ramadan will be our best Ramadan, inshallah. So we're looking at the Munajat of Shabaniya again. And just because we haven't seen each other for 2 weeks, I want to recap for a moment the first session. A big event is coming. We talked about this. if it's our wedding, if it's the Super Bowl, if it's a huge exam, how much time and effort and energy do we spend? If we're going to go on a trip, how much time do we spend preparing? But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that a day greater than 1,000 months is coming, like we talked about last time, not much effort. So inshallah, what we're trying to do here is just prepare ourselves mentally, prepare ourselves spiritually for that. Because failure to prepare is preparing to fail, brothers and sisters. And a lot of times what happens is that the month of Ramadan comes and goes, and like we see in some of the hadith, all that we do is we make ourselves a little hungry for a few days, but nothing has changed. Right? So we don't want to be like that this time. We're trying to be, you know, in the words of Sheikh Osama, the elite soldiers of the Imam of the time. So we've got to raise our game a little bit. Next, we talked about some of the key concepts from this munajat that we said came from Imam Ali alayhi salam, and was something that was read by all of the imams, was something that was read by all of our great scholars, and they gave a lot of emphasis on this munajat. And what were some of the key concepts we talked about? Number one, the fact that we're desperate. We're fleeing to Allah, right? Harabtu ilay. We have nowhere else to turn. We've committed sins. We're drowning in negligence. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the gift of tawbah, the opportunity to return back. As long as we have a breath, we have an opportunity. Right? All of us, no matter what mistakes we've made up until this moment in our life, tonight we have an opportunity. Let's try not to leave this session without asking Allah to, inshallah, forgive of all of our sins. Right? One of the imams, Imam Abdul Ali Musa from Washington, he used to say, a setback is only a setup for a comeback. Okay, so yeah, I've had setbacks in my life, spiritually, you know, but alhamdulillah, we've got an opportunity for a comeback. Right, Tariq? Okay? Inshallah. Okay. The next thing we talked about was being thankful. Right? How many things has Allah given us? Whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's opportunity to be in a place like Dearborn, right? Whether it's the blessing of a roof over our head, food, how many things are we just negligent of, and we forget to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these blessings, right? First and foremost amongst that, the spiritual risk that we have, that alhamdulillah, we're on Islam, right? It's 2022. It's not a joke to still be on Islam in the end of times here. So we have to thank Allah for this. And finally, we talked about doing a wudu exercise. What did I ask you all to do? I said, try to, in the next week, which has now become 2 weeks, try to be in wudu as much as possible. Why? Because it allows us, the teachers say, it allows us to be cognizant of Allah's presence. We want to get to the point where right now, before I recognize that Ahmad is in the room with me, I recognize that Allah is between me and Ahmad. Right? And we get to that point, we'll see that our sins will decrease. So did anybody, you know, try this wudu exercise just by a show of hands? Okay. Does anybody, you know, want to comment on it? How did it go? Were they successful, unsuccessful? Okay, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Anyone else? Okay, and that's how it's going to be. That's how it's always going to be. When you start something new, when you're trying to implement something new, when you're trying to get away from a sin, it's never going to happen overnight. Now, this is something we're going to talk about Friday in the Malcolm X program. But a change is gradual. Right? Getting rid of our bad habits, putting in new habits is gradual. Okay, so we should never feel bad about that. We should go back to the drawing board, see, okay, where was it that I was successful? Where was it that I wasn't successful? So that inshallah, tomorrow you wake up and you're in wudu a little bit more. Okay, until you get to the point where, you know, this story just comes to my mind, and this is difficult for us to understand, right? And nobody be offended by what I'm about to say, right? They asked Allama Tabatabai once, what's the most difficult times that you've been through? Is it the time, you know, when X, Y, and Z person passed away or so on and so forth? He said, no, it's in those few moments where I'm no longer in wudu until I have to go back and do the wudu. So that's the most difficult time. Because he's seeing the reality of the wudu. Inshallah, we can all get to that point. Okay, so here we are in part two. Like we talked about, we're looking at the translation of Sayyid Ali Quli Qara'i, and so the page numbers that I've put there are in accordance with that. And again, we don't have the highlights again, but you know, it worked okay last time, so inshallah, I'll try to point out exactly where we are. Okay, so it says, إِلَهِ اِعْتَذَارِ إِلَيْكَ تَذَارُ مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَغْنِ عَنْ قَبُولِ أُذْرِ. This is the first full paragraph. It says, "My God, my apologies are the apologies of someone who is in dire need of his apologies being accepted." Okay, there's two ways that we apologize. And for those of you who are married, you'll understand this right away. Okay, so I'll just give an example. You know, you come home late from, let's say, you know, wherever, whether you're, you know, man or the wife or the husband, whoever you are, and maybe the other person was expecting you to come earlier, but you didn't realize that, you know, and now maybe they're a little bit upset. Now, what do you say? You say, "I'm sorry, you know, this is like my bad." You know, like, are you really sorry? No, you're not really sorry. Right? You're just trying to, you know, make the situation a little bit better. Okay, or it's like, you know, like, why didn't you do the dishes? You're supposed to do the dishes, you know, your wife tells you or whatever it is, and you're like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, you know, but you're really exhausted and you're really not that sorry, okay? Then there's another type of apology. There's another type of apology where it's like, you know, you get a C on an exam and your dad says, hey, you know, this happened to one of my friends, I remember. He's like, you better go back and make that a B, you know? And we're like, okay, you know, and I remember us going back to the school and like my friend's like, you know, shaking and he's like, all right, like, what are we gonna tell the teacher, you know? Like, see, that's a different kind of apology there. You got to go from the teacher, like, please, I tried really hard. I really need this B, you know. I don't think we got the B, right? But the point being is that what we're saying here, what Imam Ali is saying here is, my God, my apologies are the apologies of someone who is in dire need of his apologies being accepted. Like we talked about last time, you're in chains in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your sins are speaking against you. Your hands are speaking against you. Your feet are speaking against you. Your eyes are speaking against you. You have nowhere to turn, right? We have to have this desperate feeling. We have a chance right now, today, to not put ourselves in that situation. Why not do it, right? You got to love yourself a little bit. Why do you want to put yourself in that situation? You got a chance, okay? So that's the type of apology that we're starting off here tonight. It says, "My God, do not reject my request and do not disappoint my hope." Now going down to the last paragraph, "Ilahi, لو أردت هواني لم تهدني ولو أردت فضيحتي لم تعافني." Oh God, my God, were it your wish to disgrace me, you would not have guided me. Okay, brothers and sisters, you're here tonight. This is a spiritual risk. This is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because I'm going to do anything special up here, but because the munajat can do special things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to this point in our life. If you just reflect on your own life, look at what you've been through. Look at the mistakes that you've made. Look at how many second chances and fifth chances and 20th chances we've gotten, and you're still here. This is a sign of somebody that loves you. The one who is all your affairs, he's controlling all your affairs, he's putting you, gotten you to this place where you have access to scholars, where you have access to Hadi Institute, where you have access to a city full of ulama and, you know, ziyarah of the Ahl Bayt and all these beautiful blessings. You have your family, like how many blessings? We can't count them, as the Quran tells us, right? So we have to realize that, look, it helps you out when you know the guy who's giving you the tests, the guy who's looking over everything, the one who's taking care of you, cares about you and believes in you. Because if he didn't believe in you, you wouldn't be here. Right. We have in this dua of Imam Kadhim of Sari al-Ijaba, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِلَهِي أَحْتَيْتُكَ فِي أَحَبَّ الْأَشْيَاءِ إِلَيْكَ وَهُوَ التَّوْحِيدِ. Oh Allah, I'm worshiping you with the thing that you love most, which is tawheed. وَلَمْ أَعْسِيكَ فِي أَبْغَذَ الْأَشْيَاءِ إِلَيْكَ وَهُوَ الْكُفْرِ. I'm not disobeying you with the thing that you hate the most, which is kufr. فَاغْفِرْ لِي مَا بَيْنَهُمَا. So forgive me what's between it. Right, look at how Imam Kadhim alayhi salam is teaching us to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As someone who's hopeful, right? It's like, hey, you know, come on, I did this thing. Yeah, I didn't do, you know, that thing, but that's not as big of a deal, you know? That's how we're supposed to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with hope. And we have this in Hadith al-Qudsi, where it says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ذَنَّ عَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْ خَيْرٌ فَخَيْرًا وَإِنْ شَرًا فَشَرًا. Right? I am basically... I am as the mu'min servant of mine, views me. If he sees me as goodness and good, that's how I'll deal with him. If he sees me as otherwise, that's how I'm going to deal with him, right? So brothers and sisters, have this good view of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have this beautiful hadith that I didn't bring the whole hadith because it's a long hadith, but what it basically says is that on the day of resurrection, there's going to be a group of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in this hadith, a single person, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to look at all their deeds, their situation, and their deed in the situation will be speaking for themselves, right? And it'll be speaking for itself and saying, hellfire. And Allah will say, you know, take this guy away. And this servant will say, ya Allah, I had a different expectation from you. They'll say, Allah will say, what was your expectation? He said, I had the expectation of the Rahman, of the Rahim, of the Rahmaniyah, of you being merciful. And Allah will say, because of that good view and expectation you had of me, you know, you can enter paradise. So we see it's important for us, and it gives us that hope, and that's how we can change, right? If we have that good perspective. If we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given up on me, we'll give up on ourselves. Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa alihi. Thanks, bro. The next line here, it says, my God, I do not believe that you will turn down my request. I have spent a lifetime seeking the fulfillment of that from you. Whose fulfillment from you? Okay? Umri. Okay? My whole life, I've spent this. So I was saying, well, wait a minute. What have you been asking Allah for your whole life? Just think about it yourself. What kind of things, you know, when you go for ziyarah, you're at the dari, when you're in sujood, you know, what do you spend your whole life asking for? And when I reflected on my own whole life, if I had to say what's the most thing that you oftentimes ask for, it's the dunya. It's things of this dunya. Health, let me pass that test, let me get married. You know, things of the dunya. Now obviously, if we have the right niyyah and the right intention, even these things can be related to our akhirah, of course. But if we're really honest for ourselves, really honest about it, when Allama Tabatabai, when he talked about this line, what he says is that what you should have been, the correct answer, the thing that is trying to be taught to us, because remember we said that the Imams and the Ahlul Bayt would use the language of the du'as and the munajat to teach us lessons. So here we're being taught, what should you be asking for, right, for all our lives? And one answer, the answer of Allama Tabatabai, was forgiveness. Of course, there could be other views as well on this. The next line, and this is going to lead into about the next 10 minutes or so of conversation, is where it says, my God, should you take me to task for my offenses, I shall cling to your pardon. And should you seize me for my sin, I shall take hold of your forgiveness. And should you put me into the fire, وَإِنْ أَدْخَلْتَنِ النَّارِ أَعْلَمْتُ أَحْلَهَا أَنِّي أُحِبُّكَ. Right? I will declare to its inmates and indeed I love you. SubhanAllah. We see the same language in Du'a Kumil, for example. We see it other places. Brothers and sisters, this is not a small thing. Somebody is responsible for punishing you, and they're putting you in, somebody who is responsible for punishing you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're in the hellfire, and you're calling out and you're telling others that I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has got to be a real love. Okay, just think about the love that we have, you know. Somebody upsets you a little bit, you know, do you still, if I asked you in that moment, do you love them? You'd be like, you know. But look at this, we're in the depths of the hellfire, and we're calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I still love you, right? And without going into concepts like ilmi huduri and husuli and trying to fully understand this, I just brought a couple of easier examples for us to think about, right? Number one, is the hellfire because of my shortcomings or Allah's shortcoming? Right? When we understand that hellfire is nothing but the manifestation of our own actions, right? So, you know, I disrespect my family. I say something to my wife, my husband, my child, my mom, my dad. You know, I use bad language. I commit a crime. I murder someone. I see some. Those things that we commit, right, in the next life, they have a reality. In philosophy, we'll say that there are some things that are a'rad, which are characteristics, for example, that in the next life they become johar, or substance. So for example, jealousy. This is a characteristic, but it can manifest itself. Hatred, right? It's a characteristic, but we'll see it in the next life manifested. Just like we'll see, let's say, Surah Rahman manifested. Okay? When you understand that, then when you look at this hellfire, now you're saying, well, is this hellfire because Allah put me here? Yes. Everything, of course, is because Allah is, you know, He has His own place and Tawheed al-Afali and these kinds of things. But it's also because it's because of my action. I'm the one that made the decision to create this hellfire. Okay? So that's one way for us to understand why when we're in the hellfire we'll be calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Allah, I messed up, but I still understand your perfection. Another way is, you know, this example came to my mind, and I might have mentioned it elsewhere as well, so bear with me, but you know, when my son was 2 years old, when Muhammad Hussein was 2 years old, you know, in Iran, the shots have a little bit more, you know, juice to them. Okay? So like the 1.5 year shots, we were like trying to stretch it, like, ah, you know, maybe he doesn't need the shots, you know what I'm saying? But okay, alhamdulillah, 2 years, like, okay, you know, we gotta give him the shots, okay? So we, and I know maybe there's anti-vaxxers out there or whatever, but alhamdulillah, we were in the Islamic Republic, we went for the shots. And I'm not saying I'm anti-vax or anything like that, okay? I'm just, okay. So what happened was that, you know, I'm taking him, it's a sensitive topic these days, right? So I'm taking him to the shots, okay? So, you know, he's 2 years old. So he's going there, he's like, okay, my baba's taking me somewhere, you know, maybe we're gonna play, you know, khanebazi, like a place to play place or something. And now I'm taking him there, I'm lying him down, you know, he lies down, now there's this doctor person, you know, nurse comes. And after the first shot, like his whole body's like red, okay? And he's crying. And he's looking at me like, you know, get me out of here. Okay, and what am I doing? You know, he's like, baba, get me out of here, what am I doing? I'm holding him down. I'm like, bro, you're not going anywhere, you know? We got like 5 more shots to go or whatever it was. And he's crying and I'm feeling bad, but I'm saying, look, this is for your own good. You know, I know this is for his own good. I love you, that's why I'm putting you here. And what happens at the end of the shots? Does he look for anyone else? He knows there's no one else. He looks for me. He comes into my arms. I'm the one consoling him. I'm the one telling him I love him. He's the one that's showing love to me. He's the one complaining to me about what happened. You see, once you realize that there is no one else, even the one who's punishing you, you still have that love for them. There is no one else, right? When Allah is putting us in the hellfire, even that is a mercy. Because if you want to be with Imam Ali, if you want to be with the Holy Prophet, you had to do it here, brothers and sisters. If you didn't do it here, there's only one other way. It's out of His mercy for what's to come, that He wants you to experience what's to come, that He has to put you in that hellfire. Even the hellfire is a mercy. Okay? And there's other examples, but I won't go into them here. We'll move on to, inshallah, the next section. So, again, we're going to just focus on this concept of love. Okay. So it says, إلهي لم يكن لي حولا فأنتقل به عن معصيتك إلا في وقت أيقظتني لمحبتك. Now here, let's read the English verse. My God, I did not have the strength to desist from your disobedience except when you awaken me to your love. Again, talking about love. Now here what we have is we have, after ilahi, it says lam. Okay? Then it has a illa. Okay, so this is in balagha, Arabic, you know, rhetoric, we'll say this is hasr. And actually, when you go and you look at the daraja of hasr, this is the strongest hasr. Meaning that, just like when we say, La ilaha illallah, there is no God. First you're doing negation, then you're saying, except Allah. So make sure you're not worshiping an idol, a person, a prophet, your ego, your job, whatever it is. Nothing at all, except for Allah. This is the highest level of basically saying it's only one thing. We're only limiting it to one thing. And here it says, my God, I did not have the strength to desist from your disobedience at all. I just couldn't have done it. There's absolutely no way I could have not sinned except when you awakened me to your love. Now, remember we said we're trying to benefit from the Urafa and the great scholars, right? People who have worked on themselves. You know, people like the students of Allama Tawatabai, like Ayatul Tahriri, the students of Ayatul Sadat Parvar, these great ulama, right? Ayatul Tahriri, you know, Ustad Mujahidi, and of course Ayatul Misbah, these great scholars who, you know, I don't have time to go and explain who they were, but just know, you know, they're heavyweights, right? So when they are looking at this, some explain it to say that, look, except when you awaken me to your love of me, so Allah made us realize how much He loves us. So that straightened us out. Or it could mean, except when you awaken me because of your love of me, right? Because Allah loved us so much, He woke us up. Or it could say, except when you awaken me to my love of you. You see, we already have the love of Allah in us. It's fitri. We love perfection. Some of us see perfection in the car. Some of us see the perfection in how nice of a lineup we have. Some of us see a perfection in the opposite gender, right? But some of us will eventually, inshallah, and all of us will eventually get to the point where we see perfection being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That's the only perfection. That's the real perfection. So when Allah awakened us to that, we fall in love. You fall in love with perfection. You see an athlete, you know, he's good at what he does, you love that. It's natural, okay? So this is where the ulama, they tell us, Ayatollah Misbah and Ustad Mujahidi, they tell us that this is the key point for your eternal happiness, this line. Meaning that if you want to stay out of hellfire, period, you want to be somebody who just doesn't sin, why wouldn't you? Who walks around and being like, you know what, yeah, I'm okay with just like a little bit of hellfire, yeah, I can do that. Nobody's really, I mean, that's just out of our own ignorance of what hellfire is. If we literally saw hellfire for like less than like a tenth of a second, we would never say that. Nobody in their right mind would ever say that about a fire that, you know, you can't compare it to anything of this world, right? It's not even fire like the way we think about fire, okay? And, you know, we don't want to go into all the scary hadith right now, okay? Trying to send people home happy here. But if we're keeping it real, nobody in their right mind would say, yes, I want hellfire. Okay? So how can we get to that point? We can get to that point. If we couldn't get to that point, these lines wouldn't have been given to us. Examples like Rasulullah wouldn't have been given to us. وَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنَ أَوْ أَدْنَى. It says that in the Mi'raj, he was, you know, two bow lengths or closer, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Tafsir al-Mizan, Allama Tabatabai says, because he's Uswatul Hasana, the best role model, the perfect role model for us, that means that we also have the opportunity to reach that stage to our own, you know, capacity. We have that opportunity to reach that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the capacity within us. Okay, so what's the key point here? The key point is love. If you want to stop sinning, brothers and sisters, the requirement to stop sinning is love. You got to be in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. How can we be in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And it's coming up like in a different order over there. So you guys are getting a sneak peek. Okay? But there's this verse of the Holy Quran that I want to go through first, right? وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Okay? Among the people are those who set up partners. Partners, don't just think it's, you know, somebody who's worshiping an idol or someone who believes in, you know, other people being God. No. Partners are, you know, they stop putting the idols in front of us because we don't worship anymore, worship them that easily. Now they put the idols in our minds. Okay? Now the idols are secularism, liberalism, democracy, individualism, you know, pluralism. Among the people are those that have set up partners besides Allah, loving them as if loving Allah, but the faithful are firmer in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a characteristic of the mu'mineen, right? That you have that firm love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how can we do it, okay? So what some of the scholars tell us is that you have this love. when you have love, let's say whatever amount of love, everyone in this room has some love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Maybe we're not at the place of, you know, that Imam al-Khomeini was at. But okay, we have some love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not at the place where Imam Ali was, but we have some love. Now, that love gives you recognition. You recognize He is your creator. You recognize that you owe Him, right? Just like if somebody comes and gives you $1,000 today, right? You'll feel like, okay, man, I owe this guy a thank you at least, right? Somebody comes and brings me water. I say, Ahmad, thank you, okay? Somebody comes and gives you life. Someone gives you every single blessing that you have. He's giving you your next breath. You know, there's a story that somebody was talking about, one of the scholars, and I just heard the story a few days before I left Qom, you know, last month, was that one of the scholars was trying to explain how easy it is for a mu'min to go through death. He's saying, look, yes, death is scary and all these things are true for someone who has the sins, but someone who is, who's pure, who's a mu'min in the true sense of his word, his in word and action, he said it's like drinking water. Before he finished drinking the water, he passed away. Right? You think he thought that was going to happen? Of course not, brother. Death's not coming. It's a pop quiz. It's not a, you know, it's not an exam. Like, you know, it's a pop quiz. It's coming. You know? So what we're saying is that you have that recognition, right? What it leads to is that it leads to us stopping sins to our own degree. When you stop sinning, it's going to lead to more love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So it's circular. You know, and I was trying to get in hold with the teacher today to try to understand this a little bit better, if it's circular, if it's linear or whatever, but we'll go with it being circular right now, okay? And I'll correct myself in the future if this turned out to be more linear as far as, because in some places we see that the love and the stop sinning are just kind of like just a two-way street, okay? But here we see that it could also be because the ma'rifah, your ma'rifah increases, your understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence increases. Right, just like right now, you guys are like, okay, I'm not going to sin, you know. When our ma'rifah of Allah being closer to us than our jugular vein, you know, increases, and we're not going to sin anywhere. Okay, so this is a requirement, is to stop sinning, is this love. And so here, rather than hear from myself, let's hear what Shahid Beheshti has to say about sin and love.
عاشق شوید، برادرها خواهرها عاشق شوید، زندگی به عشق است. عقل به آدم زندگی نمیده، عقل به آدم حساب میده چجور بهتر بخوره، چجور بهتر بخوابه، چجور بهتر پلاسیده بشه، چجور بهتر دل مرده باشه. عشق است که در درون انسان آتش زندگی و شعله زندگی را برمی فروزاند. مسلمان عاشق است، عاشق خداست، عاشق حق است، عاشق عقل است، عاشق انسان شدن است، عاشق ملکوت است. و دنیا با همه زیبندگی ها و فریبندگی ها براش صرفاً میدان ساخته شدن و ره پیمودن به سوی آن معبود و معشوق جاودان.
So what he's saying is that, you know, fall in love. We have to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That's where our salvation really lies. That's how we can reach these higher levels that, you know, brothers and sisters like yourself on a Wednesday night are trying to get to. But how can we do that? Let's talk about this practically a little bit. Okay, so we see that we're told, number one, like we talked about just now, following the commands of Allah. Okay? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ. Right? Say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you. Aito Bahjat, you know, said this to a scholar. This scholar told this to me, and I'm telling this to you. So between you and Aito Bahjat, there's only two other people. Okay? And the words were this. He said, stop sinning, you will reach your goals. It's that simple. Stop sinning, you'll reach your goals. Your goals for this life, your goals for the next life. Okay? We have this hadith where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Ya Rasulullah, what's the afdal al-a'mal in the month of Ramadan? What's the best action in the month of Ramadan? And the Holy Prophet says to stop sinning. Right? It's not to finish the whole Quran. Right? It's not to make sure that we're waking up for Salatul Fajr. It's to stop sinning. This is where the priority is. The second thing I want to mention here is one way we can increase our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, let's see, where is it that our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes goes down, unfortunately? And the answer is that when we're tested, when we go through trials, when we lose a loved one, when we lose a job, when we go through a sickness, something difficult happens in our life, and sometimes because we don't properly have a proper perspective of trials and tests, it affects our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah protect us from having this kind of understanding. But it happens. Okay, so what I want to talk about for a few moments here is how should we view trials? Okay, so I'm going to give an example here of, well, if the picture ever comes, of a classroom. Okay? And the first example is, imagine, okay, right now, I'm like, hey, joke's on you guys. I'm actually going to test you on the material that we went over today and last, and 2 weeks ago. And you guys are like, oh man, why did I come? I knew I shouldn't have come, you know? Okay, now I start handing out tests. I start handing out tests on a bright yellow paper, okay? And the test is the same for everyone that I'm giving out. And the test is saying, what's it saying? It says, what is this two sessions about? What were these two sessions about? Okay, and I'm like, you know, giving away prizes for whoever can get this right and all that stuff like that, okay? But then, you know, I give Tariq a red paper. And it's like, you know, write down all the verses of the Quran that were mentioned in these 2 weeks, you know, and the ahadith, so something like that, okay? The Tariq's looking like, come on, man, what's going on, bro? Like, that's not fair. And I'm saying, bro, look, there was one hard test. I scanned the whole room, and I said, لا تكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not give except for what you can handle. I scanned the whole room, and I was like, who can handle this test? I said, it's Tariq. And I said, whoever passes this test, I'm going to give them a much better prize. And now I'm sitting here looking at Tariq, I'm like, bro, you got this, man. Look, I wouldn't have given it to you if you couldn't have handled it. I'm telling you, لا تكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Brothers and sisters, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a test, somebody dies. You know, you lose a parent, you lose a child, you lose a job. You know, whatever it is, remember, He gave it to you because He knew you could handle it. Don't look over your shoulder and be like, man, that guy got a yellow paper. Instead, say, alhamdulillah, I got the red paper, right? Attack that test. That's an opportunity. Nobody else is getting that opportunity. And in truth, we're all getting yellow tests and red tests all the time. You might think he has a yellow paper, but it might actually be a red paper, right? You sometimes just see the zahir, the apparent. You don't see what the reality is of somebody else's test. This is one way of looking at tests. Another way, and you know, this is might be more for the brothers, so you know, I apologize, is the example of the Super Bowl. You know, I'm in Detroit, so, and I gotta mention this for a moment here. You know, the Detroit Lions won the Super Bowl this year, okay? Why? Because Matthew Stafford won the Super Bowl, okay? For people who don't know, this player, there was a quarterback, a player who was the, you know, the best player for the Detroit Lions football team for the last like 12 years, okay? And, you know, I've wasted too much time on my life on sports. That's a whole nother conversation and how this is actually an addiction. That's something we have to work on and get over. But we won't go there right now, okay? But what happened is this individual, he was stuck in Detroit, which means that he was never going to win. So what he did is he said, I'm going to go somewhere else. Why? Because he said, I can do better. I have more potential. Now, if he never went somewhere else, if he never faced those tests, you know, in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl with 2 minutes left, right? We would never know what his potential was. We would never know, was he actually a championship quarterback or not? But he took that test on. He passed that test, and now we know. Brothers and sisters, the same for you and I. Don't run from the tests that Allah gives you. You got to face them anyways. Attack those tests. Say, Alhamdulillah, I got this test. Now Allah has given me an opportunity to show what I'm made of, right? So if we look at tests that way, inshallah, when the tests come, instead of being like, oh, Allah has forsaken me, we'll say, Subhanallah, right? The awliya, when a big test is not coming their way, they're checking their deeds. They're saying, what have I done wrong? You know, I must have done something wrong, okay? What Ayatollah Tahriri says, he says that trials are sometimes given to us to bring us back, right? We're slipping, we're falling. Allah says, okay, look, man, when I'm putting this individual in ease, he's not coming back. Let me give him a trial so he comes back and remembers us. Sometimes, though, it's given to test the lover's love. You might not be doing anything wrong, but Allah's trying to see, you know, are you really about what you're saying? Is that love true? Right? And again, it's an opportunity. So this is on the concept of love. Next, the first line in the next page here, إِلَهِ إِنَّ مَنْ تَعَرَّفَ بِكَ غَيْرَ مَجْهُولٍ. O God, he who becomes acquainted with you does not remain unnoticed. Right? The example that comes to mind is who we're going to talk about on Friday, you know, the Shuhada and Shaheed Malcolm X. Okay, we'll talk about this more on Friday. Another example, a story that came to mind, was the story of Imam Khomeini's house. Okay, so Imam Khomeini in Qom, he has a house. Some of you who have went for ziyarah, you might have seen this house. And the story of this house goes as follows, that let's say he was like renting this house. And his son, you know, Sayyid Ahmad, says that the house, the landlord came and said, hey, look, man, we need this house. You know, unfortunately, you got to be out in a week or whatever it is. So the Imam says, okay, no problem. You know, give me a little bit of time, inshallah, you know, we'll do what we can. He says, just then, somebody came from out of town, from a different city, and says, you know, Imam, you know, I'm traveling and I don't want to leave my money back there. I'm going to be traveling for X amount of months. Can you watch over this money for me? Use it however you need to. When I come back, just return it to me the same amount. It was the exact same amount. Let's say it was 16,000, you know, tomans or whatever it was. The Imam said, Subhanallah. Gave it to the landlord. It solved his problem temporarily. He said, you know, that individual ends up coming back in 5 days. Be like, it didn't work out, you know, can I get the money back? The Imam's like, okay, you know, give me another, you know, day or two to think about this. He says, just then his brother Ayatollah Pasandide came and said, you know, our father actually had gifted us an extra amount that we had never gotten until just now, and it's 16,000 tomans. Here's your share. You see, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over us, right? And the more that we're in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in love with us. And you'll see that your life, you know, the one who gets his, you know, internal things in order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his external in order. Man aslaha, I'm forgetting the words of the hadith, but aslaha Allah ala niyatiha. Something of this. I'm forgetting the entire thing. Hadith. Okay. The next line again. إِلَهِ أَقِمْنِي فِي أَحْلِ وَلَايَتِكَ مُقَامَ مَنْ رَجَى زِيَادَةَ مِنْ مُحَبَّتِكَ. Okay. My God, place me amongst your friends in the position of those who hope to enhance your love. The point I want to mention here is that even the awliya, even those great teachers, even those great servants of Allah, those friends of Allah, are always working on themselves. Right? They're not giving up. There's no time in anyone's life where they're not crying because of their shortcomings, if we really reflect on it. Why? Because, you know, it's just like, you know, somebody who is an expert. You are an expert at what you do. Okay? The first day on your job, the mistakes that you made, if you're making those same mistakes 4 years from now, would you be satisfied? You know, I remember, you know, when I was working as a lawyer, my first negotiation, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, my hands are shaking, you know, like my boss is next to me, you know. And like 3 years later, you know, I'm sitting back, I'm like looking at the Pistons game, you know, score, and I'm like doing the negotiation. Why? Because I become an expert, okay? The same is for us when it's staying away from sins, brothers and sisters. At some point, it's no longer acceptable for us to be doing those same sins we were doing X amount of years ago. Right? We have the bar rate goes higher. We have to demand more for ourselves. This is how the awliya are, and there's some stories here. I'm not going to go into that in the interest of time. But what I want to say is that the way that we see that sometimes we try to increase our love, right, is through the mustahab acts. So what I talked about earlier was doing the commands, the wajibat, and staying away from the muharramat. This is the key to increasing the love, right? Not sinning. Number two, we talk about trials. Okay, if we're able to accomplish these, then of course we're going to move on and we're going to want to do mustahabat. Okay, pray. That's wajib. Don't miss a prayer. That's wajib. That's haram. Okay, but now taking out your misbah, your tasbih, that's mustahab. Okay, yes, we do those things. But what I want to mention here briefly, and we're going to be wrapping up here in about 10 minutes, is just that, just like when we talked about weightlifting, spiritual weightlifting is similar to physical weightlifting. In weightlifting, you can hurt yourself by lifting too much weight. You can hurt yourself, your body, you can hurt yourself physically if you don't do enough exercise, but you can also hurt yourself if you do too much exercise. And this is something that's often lost on our communities. Because what happens is that, you know, my WhatsApp and my Instagram is like blowing up on like the first of Ramadan and like the nights of Qadr, like do these 16,000 things, you know, and then you're going to take advantage of your night of Qadr. I'm like, bro, like, you know, we're sitting here in Qom, we're sitting with these teachers and like these students of Allah Tawatabai, and they're not doing all these things necessarily, you know. But lay Muslim, you know, in Dearborn, I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, I pray Fajr like, you know, like 46% of the time, but like on this month, I'm going to read the Quran like 6 times and I'm going to do like all of this and I'm going to do all of this. Of course you're going to burn yourself off. Of course you're going to injure yourself. Your back's going to go out. You can't lift that much weight, okay? So there's 4 keys that some of our teachers and the scholars, they tell us that when you're doing mustahabat, keep these in mind, okay? Number one is that recommended acts should not harm the performance of obligatory acts. Okay, you're staying up late at the Islamic conference to learn from the ulama, and then you miss Fajr. Miss the boat, bro. Okay. Number two, recommended acts should not be accompanied by a prohibited act. Okay, and there's obvious examples here that I'm not going to mention right now. Come up to me after if you want those. Okay. Number three, one should have the physical capacity to perform the recommended action. Look, you have a responsibility to your family, to your spouse, to your community, to your job, right? Are you burning yourself out and you're not able to handle this? And number four, and this is the most important one where we fail, is that one should have the spiritual capacity to perform the recommended act, like we talked about with the weightlifting example. Okay, meaning one should not force himself when he lacks the disposition or he will become jaded. And I'll give you this example that, you know, I went through a couple of, FUSA courses, okay? So the last FUSA course that I went through, what happened was that it was very HIFZ intensive, where they were requiring you to memorize a lot. So like we would go in front of the class and they would like memorize these like 2 pages of like this Arabic conversation, like, and you had to go in front of the class and like say the whole thing, okay? And like you're just hivzing, hiv. And what's interesting is up until that time, I used to try to hiv one verse of the Quran every day for like my first, let's say, 3 or 4 years in the Hawza. But after I went through this like intensive, like memorize everything in the whole book course, I was just like, man, like I don't want to memorize anything. Okay? And I'm still paying the price for it, like 3-4 years later. I'm still paying the price. I'm still like recovering from like lifting too much, and I broke my back when it came to like memorization. You know, so now I'm coming up with like different strategies to memorize and like stuff like that. This is what happens to us in the month of Ramadan. It happens to us all the time. We do too much, we can't handle it, and then you'll see after Ramadan you crash. Okay, so let's make sure that we're not doing that. Just going through the last few points here, and you know, this is actually the most complicated part of the munajat. Okay, so I'll just go through it. My God, grant me utmost dedication to you and illuminate the vision of our hearts. Illuminate the vision of our hearts. Okay, so first of all, what does it mean, utmost dedication? this kamal inqita. This is what Imam Khomeini, if you remember in that first video we watched the first night, was talking about, kamal inqita. Some people say it means not relying on others too much, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you rely on others to be an intermediary for you. So I'm relying on my family, I'm relying on my boss, yes, to be intermediary, but you never see them as independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some say this is what this line means. Others say it means not having that attachment to the dunya, not being too attached to the dunya. Now, how can we understand what does it mean to be too attached to this world, to this lowly world? You look at Surah Hadid, verse 23, لِكَيْ لَا تَعْصَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَهُ بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. The ulama say that someone who acts on this verse, they've understood zuhud and not being too attached to the dunya. And the verse is saying that you don't get overjoyed by what you get and you don't get too upset about what you lose. Okay? So alhamdulillah, I was going for that job, I was going for, you know, that spouse. I got it, alhamdulillah. I didn't get it, alhamdulillah. You know, someone who's reached that point, that's what zuhud is. That's what not being too attached to the dunya is. Okay? So that's what that line means. But now going on here, it says, حَتَّى تَخْرِقَ أَبْسَارُ الْقُلُوبِ حُجُبُ النُّورِ. Oh no, I missed a part, okay? And then he says, وَأَنِرْ أَبْسَارَ قُلُوبِنَا. Okay? Illuminate the visions of our hearts. Okay, so what does this mean? Do I have vision in my heart? Like, what does that mean? Do I have like a separate pair of eyes in my heart? See, brothers and sisters, what I want to just get, if you don't understand anything that I'm about to say, it's okay, because it's going to be a little bit maybe technical or maybe not technical for brothers and sisters of your caliber, but don't worry about it. But at least understand this, that there is more out there. Ya Allah. Okay. There is more. Did I break this? What did I have? No? Okay. There is more out there. Sometimes because we feel like we're not spiritually satiated by sometimes what we hear and see, it's from our misunderstanding of what's being said to us. But if it's not, just understand there's more out there. Search for more. Search for more within Islam. Don't search for more in, you know, yoga, or don't search for more in mindfulness. Don't search for more in other places. Okay? Search for more in Islam. It's there, I promise you. So number one is those people that say, okay, you know, all this, you know, these urafan, this, ah, man, come on, you know, do your watch. Bro, this isn't from Imam Ali alayhi salam. You know, we're not making, this is not being made up by some scholar somewhere. Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying this. You come explain this to me. You know, people who, you know, don't accept the ayatul bahchats of the world. You come and explain this to me then. You know, what's being said here? Oh God, grant me utmost dedication to you and illuminate the vision of our hearts with the light of the gaze towards you until our heart's vision pierces the curtains of light to reach the reserves of supremacy. SubhanAllah. Okay, this is where you need the arif to be coming, sitting here and explaining it. I'll just give you a little bit of a taste of maybe what some of our great scholars say. Okay. So here we're asking about something higher. Okay, so let's look at this verse of the Holy Quran. First of all, it says, لا تعمل أبصار ولكن تعمل قلوب. Okay, so this is in the Holy Quran. It's not just in the Munajat. It is not the eyes that turn blind, but the hearts. So brothers and sisters, there is, you know, once someone works on themselves enough, you know, under a teacher who is qualified, you know, and there's like super emphasis on that line that I just said. If you are going to, you know, if you're watching this at home, you know, rewind it, watch that part again. You know, if you're watching this on YouTube, okay. The first type of inner unveiling that someone will experience is what's called kashf-suri, okay. And now we see that it'll happen with different senses. So, for example, with sight, when we see that Lady Maryam, you know, tamathala laha, right, basharun sawiya, right. She saw this individual in the room, right? Was this a physical sight? Or was this something else? Were the eyes of her heart being opened here? And there's a story that one of my, you know, teachers mentioned to me once that, you know, somebody came to him in Tehran and said that, you know, I'm a mechanic and, you know, I saw this plate of food. And, you know, my coworkers were like, hey, man, come get some of this food. And I looked at it, and it was, like, bloody, and, like, pus was coming out of it, and, like, worms and stuff like that. So, like, what was going on there? And he said basically the eyes of your heart were opened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed you to see the batin, or the reality of that food, which was maybe haram food, stolen food, whatever it was, you know, purchased with illegitimate wealth. Okay? So that can happen with your sight, with your smell. Right? The story of Uwais al-Qarani, the companion of the Holy Prophet, when the Prophet comes and sees, he says, I smell, you know, my companion or my friend from Yemen. Right? Was that a physical smell? Right? In Hadith al-Kisa, what do we say? أَشَمُ إِنْدَكَ رَاهِيَةً طَيِّبَةً كَأَنَّهَا رَاهِيَةً جَدِّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Was that the smell of the Holy Prophet? Is that a physical smell? Or is there something else going on? Sorry about that. Okay, when it comes to hearing, okay, the story of when the Holy Prophet, you know, was walking and the companions can hear the pebbles saying salam to him. Was that like physically they're hearing something that they weren't, or was it that the ears of their heart had been open? Okay, when it comes to taste, right, we have stories of, you know, our Urafa, they're reading a surah of the Quran, they come across a verse about the fruits of heaven and they can taste the fruits of heaven. You know, Allama Hassanzadeh, you know, there's a whole book where he talks about his experiences. And he says, you know, I was reading, you know, Surah Anbiya, and then the reality of Surah Anbiya appeared before me, and, you know. Okay. Touch, there's a story here that I'm not going to have time for. But I want to make a note here. Such gifts are sometimes given to us, lay people. Could happen if we work on ourselves. As a kind of positive reinforcement. Okay? But this is not what we're going after. We're going after the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not going after these things. Okay? Because these things can be tests for us, and many people have failed these tests. Okay? Don't get distracted. Right? This was never your goal. Your goal was to stay away from sins, to do your wajibat. And there's a couple stories. I'll just mention one of Allama Tawatabai. Allama Tawatabai said he was in, I believe it was Masjid al-Kufa. He's doing ibadah. And he says, I was busy in, you know, Namaz al-Shab or Salat al-Layl, whatever it was. And then I see a Hur al-Ain, like one of these, you know, heavenly, you know, individuals, you know, in a beautiful form, came and was waiting there for me. He said, you know, I'm doing Salah. There's nothing I love more than Salah. So I gave no attention to this individual. I continued my Salah. He said, I never felt so bad in my life. Because this person, this individual, this heavenly, you know, being left feeling sad that I didn't give them any attention. But he said he wasn't distracted from what was important to him, right? And we shouldn't either. Whether these things come or not, alhamdulillah, that's not what we're about. What I'm trying to mention here, and why I mention these things in an open session, is because we have a serious problem in our community, where people think Islam and spirituality in tashayyu has nothing to offer. And that's why I'm mentioning these things, to say there's a lot of room for us to grow, brothers and sisters, a lot. Ayatollah Misbah says about this section, he says that once someone has tasted some of these, you know, they won't want anything else. Now, why is it that someone like Ayatollah Bahjat says that if someone realized the pleasure in two rak'ah of salah, you know. Okay, so we're going to just move on here. And there's a last video that I want to show here. It says, look, I really want to be better. Okay, we're wrapping up here. I'm not going to see you again to talk about this topic anymore. You guys are on your own. I'm on my own. Inshallah, we make dua for each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Wa ma'akum ayna ma kunt. He's with us wherever we are. He's with us in our struggle for the next couple months against our nafs, against the shaitan, against stagnation like we talked about. Okay, I really want to be better. Where do I start? So let's see the answer to that from one of our great scholars.
بله حالا در بازار قیامت فکر میکنه که خبریه میره اونجا عین اون گربه فروش میشه عجب بابا هیچی نداری تو خدایا چی شد میگن تو دل شکستی ریا کردی زهر ریختی ببینید برادران خواهران ما با هم درد دل میکنیم. خدا میدونه اگه جوان عزیز عروجی میخوای بخوای به جایی برسی از خونتون شروع کنید. خدا شاهده، خدا شاهده و کفا بالله شهیده، اینو با جانم دارم از خونتون شروع کنید. جوان عزیز ببین خواهر دل خواهرتو شکستی، ما درستش کن. مادر پدر دور بر خدمتگزار از خونه شروع کنید اصلا. بله ما خیلی آقا تر منزل حالا یه جوانایی هستن خیلی خوبن، یه جوانایی هستن که محاسن دارن، انگشتر دارن، عطر تیروز هم میزنن گاهی وقتا. بله توجه کردید؟ ولی در بیرون رفیق دوست هیئت، در منزل که بری پروندهشو بپرسی هیچ کسش راضی نیست. به منزل که میرسه قلب ماهیت میشه. یعنی چی؟ پس برای چه هیئت رفته بودی؟ برای چه جلسه رفته بودی؟ استاد یعنی چی؟ یادداشت یعنی چی؟ پناه بر خدا.
And sisters, the point he's trying to make is that, you know, start in the house, start at home, start fixing your relationships, start fixing, let's start fixing our behavior, our relationships right from the home. That's where it starts. Okay, we have to have this ikhlas and sincerity. Okay, and then the last page is basically a review of the major concepts, so I'm going to skip that. But if you guys go ahead and take a look, you'll see many of the concepts we talked about, the salawat and so on and so forth, are mentioned there. Now, what are the take-home points? Okay, I have four take-home points. Number one, from today, what did we talk about? Okay, you guys lost me. I talked for a long time. I put 3 days of information into 2 days here. Okay, so forgive me. But what I try to get across here is today is that hope. Have hope. It's possible to reach a high station. It is, yes. Do you have the potentiality in you? Yes. It's a long discussion on this in Islamic philosophy as well. That potentiality already exists in you to be in Sanat Kamila right now. It's not coming from outside. You just have to activate what's already in you. Nobody's asking you to become something you're not. You're just asking you to become yourself. Okay? Number two, love. This is a requirement to stop sinning. Three, trials. Attack the trials. Appreciate the trials. Finally, recommended acts in the month of Ramadan. Quantity. No, quality. Okay? Quality over quantity. Okay, in the end, I thank you all for your attention coming out on these weeknights. I know it's not easy. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, to make me of those who act on my own words. Allah knows that I need this reminder more than any of you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Muhammad wa ali Muhammad to forgive our sins on this very night and not to allow any of us to leave this room, but that all of our sins have been forgiven so that we can get that fresh start even before we get to the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pure blood of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, that he hastens the reappearance of the Imam, and that he makes us his sincere followers and companions when he comes. Wa akhirat da'wan, wa akhirat da'wan, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد. Thank you, brothers and sisters, once again for joining us. Thank you, Sayyid Ali. Really appreciate the inspiration. Inshallah, we're able to act on the insight that you gave us. We ask you all to join us, inshallah, this Friday for the program to commemorate the martyrdom of Shaheed Malcolm X. Inshallah, as well, we'll start the program at 7 o'clock. That's when doors will open, inshallah. Thank you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Idha waqa'atil waqi'ah, laysa liwaqa'atiha kadhibah, khafidatur rafi'ah. إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما